This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there, and we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Now, at your service, it's the KMOX Dollars and Cents Show with Dave Simons from the voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Surrounding areas, you are listening to another edition of the Dollars and Cents Show, heard right here on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX. Howdy, hello, welcome. So good to talk to you on this mid-November, kind of cloudy, typical day this time of year. My name is Dave Simons, in case you didn't know, certified financial planner and head of the Simons & Cordes Wealth Management Group, located within the friendly confines of UBS Financial Services. That's the day job. Of course, I kind of do stuff related to that pretty much every day. That's what new technology allows us to do. But I digress. It's been a couple of months since I came in and hosted a show on Sunday. Although, you know, for those of you who listen to KMOX quite a bit, you'll notice that I seem to host more as a fill-in on At Your Service during weeknights than I typically find myself in here on Sunday afternoons. However, that's going to change. I'm not really at liberty to discuss that, but you're probably going to hear me a little bit more often on Sunday afternoons. Still, not every week, not going back to that, but maybe a few extra times here and there, especially during the Cardinals offseason, and glad to do it. And man, I'm in a good mood. I don't necessarily know why. It's not like it's a beautiful spring day or anything, and maybe it's just because I haven't hosted the show for such a long time, and I've loved it ever since I got behind this mic for the first time in January of 96, and so I really do enjoy it when I come down here, and I really enjoy putting the show together. Although I think some of you may think, oh man, you don't sound like you're in a good mood when I get to the second hour. I'm gonna maybe sound a little cranky, which is not my persona. That's not how I do things. But you're going to have to wait to come back for there. There's something that's really been bothering me for some time. And I'm talking about a number of years. But it seems to be getting worse and worse and worse. And then finally, I just had enough of something that I saw related to this subject matter. I saw it, I don't know, about a week or two ago and said, okay, it's got to be addressed. And it has to do with investing. And it has to do with a very well-known person in my field, sort of in my field, but who dispenses advice and is very well-known, has written some best-selling books. So give him credit. Kudos for that. But man, he's given some advice that I think is really dangerous. And I'm not kidding. I you know me, I don't use hyperbole. I don't overstate these things. I'm not trying to be intentionally provocative, but it is really, really bad advice, and he is doubling down on it, and it's just time to call it out. So I will spend some time in the second hour doing that. But for now, let's talk about the here and now, shall we? Do you have some whiplash? Do you feel like you need to get to the doctor and get one of those neck braces? I know the financial markets are always somewhat volatile. That's just the nature of that. But man, it's really been that way since the summer. You look this way and bam, the market goes the other way. So there's where the whiplash comes in. However, if you are a subscriber to my email newsletter, which I've been writing for about 23 years, you'll know that we were talking about these things in advance, not to market time. That's not what we do. That's not what I do. Never have. It's just to alert people that, hey, these things might be happening. Here's why. Just to be aware of it doesn't need mean that you need to be changing your portfolio around, especially if it is doing what it needs to be doing. It's within your own risk parameters. You're well diversified. So this goes back to early August. You may recall the first 7 months of the year were very good for the market, led by those so-called Magnificent Seven stocks. You've probably heard about these, you know, Apple, Amazon, Tesla, you know them all, the seven that have done really well, Meta, formerly Facebook. And the broader market was doing okay. It was up, but nothing like those Magnificent Seven, but the market was doing fairly well. Now, in my research, when I went back and looked at when the market does this kind of percentage within the first 7 months, and then you get into what is normally seasonally a weak time for the market, which is August, September, October. You know, that's the worst three consecutive month period historically in the market, especially as you get into October, where some of the worst crashes in history have occurred. I was not predicting that. I just was alerting the newsletter readers that, hey, we've had a really good start. But the research shows when you have a good start like that in the face of rising interest rates, check, rising mortgages, of course, check. And there were some other factors that I wrote about, check, check, check. Well, there's a pretty good chance, nothing guaranteed, of course, in the financial world, but pretty good chance that we're due for a pullback into correction territory. That's exactly what happened. And like I said, nothing major. I made sure to mention that. No great bear market. Hang in there. This is, again, not a call to action. Diversified portfolio. You'll be fine. Then when we got into late October, I went back to the pages and said, okay, we're getting into now another seasonal period, which is the other side of things, which is typically positive. The best three-month period, historically, dating back to the 1920s, is November, December, January. Santa Claus rally, whatever you, which is a small piece of it, but that is a three-month period that is historically the best. Again, no guarantee, doesn't work 100% of the time. But what's happening now as we get in, as I was writing in late October, interest rates seem to have topped. The Fed has taken a pause. Mortgage rates starting to come back down. Oil prices are easing. We're seeing some things economically. As we enter into this historically seasonally positive period, it wouldn't surprise me now to say, okay, the market looks poised to actually start going back up again. And it has here in November. Now, no way could I have seen this kind of strength. We haven't seen a month like this really since, remember when the pandemic-related correction occurred in March? And into, well, or it kind of bottomed in March. It was about a five-week period that started in late February of 2020. And those months where the market started to rebound very quickly, April, May, June, into July. This November, the one that we're in right now, matches some of those months back then. It's literally been about 3.5 years since we've seen this kind of strength behind the market. So you may have seen the numbers right now, but the S&P 500 was up this past week a little bit more than 2%. And it's been up 13 of the last 15 trading days. So you go, that's 3 weeks of business days or trading days. It's only been down twice. Overall, the market is up over 9% since October 31st, Halloween. Very strong. So I'm going to take the first break right now, my friends. When we come back, we'll dig into this a little bit more and talk about the fact of why is the market rallying when there are still so many problems, not only domestically, but around the world? What is behind this? What's going on? And can it be sustained? Should we be doing anything in our portfolios as we start looking forward to 2024? You're listening to the Dollars and Cents Show. My name is Dave Simons, and we'll be right back.
All right, well, this episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices. At your DSW store or DSW.com.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently with offline maps and on-trail navigation. Download the free app today.
Welcome back, everybody. It is 3:19 here in St. Louis, the Dollars and Cents Show. Yeah, it's been a while. Hello, my name is Dave Simons. Before we go any further, before I utter another word, let me get in good stead with my compliance folks by saying the following words. The views and opinions expressed are those of me, Dave Simons, and are not those of UBS Financial Services, Inc., its subsidiaries, or affiliates. UBS reserves the right, to the extent permitted under applicable law, to retain and monitor all communications taking place through this program. All content, information, and opinions herein should be regarded as being general in nature and provided for current interest and information purposes only. It should not be construed as an offer to sell or solicitation of an offer to buy, nor recommend any security. Some content may come from third parties who are unaffiliated with UBS, and UBS has no control or responsibility over these third parties or their opinions, information, or materials. I think that's it. That covers it, pretty much. All right, so what the heck is going on in these financial markets? Why have we seen, despite all the things happening in the world, the market acting so resilient? If people would have told you in advance, these are the things that are going to happen domestically, these are going to be the things that will break out in Israel, Gaza, Middle East, and you would say, oh, geez, I better raise some cash. No, market has been actually very resilient and, in fact, is up about 9%. In 3 weeks. What? Oh, and it's even better than that. It's not just the stock market. If you're diversified and you have a traditional balanced portfolio, your bonds have also been going back up after three pretty lousy years due to rising interest rates and the Fed in its current interest rate hike cycle. The risk trade is officially on. And it's not just money flowing into some of the high tech stocks again, but it's also flowing into the risk area of the bond market. Listen to this. The last 2 weeks have seen the largest ever weekly inflow, largest ever, to junk bonds. Junk bonds. The lowest credit quality bonds out there. Investors would not be doing that if they didn't feel on a couple of things. One, the economy is actually still doing well. And the chance that we're going to see an increase in bankruptcies because we're going to head into some severe recession, those odds are very, very small. That's the opinion of a lot of investors, obviously. And secondly, the Fed is done raising rates. And so you want to be buying bonds and you want to buy them long term. Lock in 20 and 30 year rates because in the next 6 months, year, 5 years, rates will be lower. So you'll be glad you locked in something around 5% since rates might be back to 3 or under in another year or two. That's obviously, I'm just being somewhat hypothetical, but that's the reason why you are seeing people buy risk assets again in the stock market and the riskiest portion of the bond market. No question that history books will write about this period as being really unprecedented. I know that when I was at Mizzou, more than a century ago, I don't know. I think the football team still played with leather helmets when I was there more than 40 years ago. But there were no econ books that talked about, well, when a pandemic happens, this is what markets do. This is what the Fed does. This is how Congress responds. So this is what you can expect in the stock, bond, commodity market. No, there's nothing like that that ever occurred. We've been learning as we've been going. One of the things I believe that has surprised economists who have had no historical precedents on which to really come up with their opinions on where we think the economy is going. What has surprised virtually everybody is how resilient the economy has been and the individual American consumer. They and you are still on a roll. I think that there was a general consensus that once all the stimulus money was spent, then we were going to get back to basics, and that would take us into a recession. It seemed for a lot of people, it's not really a matter of if, it's more of a matter of when and how severe. And yet here we are at the end of 2023, and it hasn't happened. There clearly is data that shows that the economy is slowing, but very slowly. And let me just be very honest. I still believe in the first 6 months of 2024, the odds favor a mild recession. Nothing major, no great bear market. Just it looks like the trend data is telling me, we're going to maybe have a couple of quarters where we could have negative growth, but that's not a hill on which I will die. I am not so overly convicted of it that I'm already starting to get really defensive in our portfolios. We will, as we start to see maybe some of the data come out and I feel stronger about it. I think the odds still favor it, but it's not something that really overly worries me because the American consumer, somehow, some way, it hasn't been fully explained and won't until years later in history books. That can maintain this resiliency, even though there's been no stimulus money put back in. It just shows you how much was out there. Now, some people have pointed out this, but Dave, credit card debt is through the roof. It's at a record high, and that is true. I don't know if you saw this, but overall credit card debt topped $1 trillion with a T dollars for the first time in history. Normally, when that occurs, when you see an explosive amount of debt on credit cards, you see that in severe economic retractions. As people have been laid off, let's say, or they're taking pay cuts, or they're not working as many hours, and they now need to start putting on regular expenses on their credit cards just to make it by until things improve. I don't think that that's necessarily happening here. I don't know this for sure. I've not seen the data, just some anecdotal data. It'll be interesting to see, but I think what's happening is people still have money to spend, but don't we all use credit cards more than cash? Most of us do, and it continues to move in that way. We use less cash every year than the year before. That's a trend. That's a fact. We use more of our credit cards. So just because you put things on your credit card doesn't mean you don't have the money to pay for it. I know a lot of people do. I understand that. And when I talk about the resiliency of the American consumer, I know some of you listening right now will say, well, I wish that was me, but it's not. I'm kind of hurting. I haven't been able to find a job. I get that. But I'm talking about in a general sense. So I think the credit card debt is a little different this time. I don't think we can use history as our guide here because it's so different. People are still outspending money, but I think a lot of the reason why we put it on our debt is just because we have the money. And we don't need to finance it at these huge 20% plus interest rates. We'll just pay it off every month. I think there's some accuracy to that, and I think that's going to be borne out as we get more data as we go along. But the Fed, oh my goodness. Think about this. Let's use a sports analogy here, right? So your favorite team has the bases loaded. You're down by a couple of runs. Let's say it's like the bottom of the 6-7, something like that. And the guy comes up to the plate, and there are a couple of outs, and you're like, come on, just a hit. I mean, you'd love a grand slam to put us ahead, but just a hit. Come on. And he strikes out. Inning's over. Oh, dude, you're killing me. Like, that guy always does it, whether he does or not. We all say that, right? He always strikes out with the bases loaded. He may have never done it in his life, but we get so upset by it. That same guy comes up with two guys on in the bottom of the ninth. It's the same score, and he hits a three-run homer. Yes! Have we forgiven him for failing back in the sixth inning? Of course we have. He came through. He won the game. We give him a pass because he ended up doing the right thing. That's kind of the Fed and Jay Powell. Listen, they were way slow to act when the pandemic was happening and we started to see the early signs of inflation because of all the stimulus money. We know this now, right? This is a fact. And Jay Powell himself, in many speeches since then, has admitted as such. In fact, you'll recall they used the term transitory. Oh, this inflation is not sticky. Once we get the supply chains working once again, the economy will start to settle down and equalize and stabilize. And so inflation will come back down to our target of 2% or so. And it didn't happen. And they were way too late in raising interest rates because the economy was running hot. They made a mistake, terrible mistake. And we blame them for a lot of that, for waiting too long. It caused these problems to persist longer than they should have of stubborn inflation that eventually topped more than 9%. It should have never happened if they would have been on the ball. But look what's happening now. There are people who are now thinking that we could have a soft landing, which I would have thought unthinkable. No way. They are so aggressively raising rates from basically 0% to 5.5% in less than a year and a half. We've never seen on a percentage basis that kind of huge increase in interest rates. I was just convinced this thing is going to kind of choke the economy. Again, not a deep recession, but inevitably a recession, and it hasn't happened. It's amazing. We may look back and say, all right, Fed, you struck out earlier in this game. You caused some of the issues that gave us a lot of angst. But man, you did the right thing. And you stayed with it long enough, even though a lot of folks were telling you to stop raising interest rates for as long as you did, including me. And yet here we are. There is a chance that they could engineer the economy to this soft landing, bring inflation down to around their target level of 2%, and the economy still running along, not hot, maybe only 1.5 at 2%, but still just gradually and grinding higher. We'll see. We'll all be smarter a couple of years from now. But man, if Powell and the Fed pulls this off, Jay Powell will go down as one of the great Fed chairmen. I have no idea. That's not a prediction, but let's hope that's eventually the title that we give him. We'll all be better off because of it. It is now, my friends, 3:31 in St. Louis. We'll take a break and continue this discussion when we return on KMOX. All right, my friends, welcome back. 3:35 in St. Louis. You are listening to the Dollars and Cent Show. I know you haven't heard that title in a while. It's been a couple of months. I will be back in exactly 1 month, which I believe is December 17th. So 4 Sundays from today, I will be back with another Dollars and Cents show. And of course, every once in a while, I will get asked to fill in on an at your service session on the weeknight. And I already know that I'm going to be doing several of them also around mid-December or so. But let's again talk about the here and now. This was very interesting to me. The bond market. I know it's kind of boring. It's very opaque. people don't quite understand it necessarily. They just know that in a diversified portfolio, yeah, I guess I got to have some bonds in there. When bonds work, they can give you almost like stock market-like returns. We haven't seen that the last few years. We have set history in a very bad way the last few years. If the year ended today, the bond market, there is a bond index, a couple of them really, but the major bond indices would all show a down 2023. Now, is that historic? No, not in and of itself. What has broken a record is this will be the third consecutive down year in a row. Three in a row. In fact, two in a row has only happened twice before. And you're thinking, okay, well, in what kind of time frame? Like the last 50 years, 100? How about since the late 1700s? And I kid you not. Researchers at a very large financial institution spent quite some time going back, even before there were actual exchanges, and they would just look at ledgers that corporations and people would have saved to show bond prices, what kind of value you were getting, buying and selling. And they did all this research, which took quite some time, and they published a paper on it. And they showed that if there was a bond index in all of these years, basically since the first years of our republic, all the way to when we actually had more regulated exchanges more than a century ago, the bond market, the fixed income market, is so stable and so easy to track within our portfolio because you don't see a lot of volatility in it. You just get the nice little coupons, the yield, maybe a little principal fluctuation here or there. But generally, you don't get huge losses until this post-COVID day. Did I mention the fact that we're sort of living in unprecedented times economically? Did I mention the fact that there's really no history on which to base any type of reasonable prediction or where things are going? Because we've never been here before. So here we are about to post the third down year in a row. I believe that 2024, this is my opinion, there's no guarantee, 2024 is going to be a pretty strong year for the bond market. So for those of you who have stayed true to your diversified portfolio and you've been relatively happy with your stocks, you have not been happy with your bonds, hang in there. I have no idea what the stock market's going to do. I just don't have that kind of conviction for 24, but I do for the bond market. And it's not just me. There was a global fund manager survey that just came out last week. So these are all professional investors, all right? These are your mutual fund folks, these are your pension folks, your hedge fund managers. So a fund manager survey. Professional investors, 61% expect lower bond yields next year. Lower. That is the highest number in the history of this poll. And you know what this means? It really reflects this viewpoint that I'm telling you about. And in fact, portfolio managers are the most overweight in bonds in two decades, because you have to understand that bond yields and bond prices work in reverse. They go in opposite directions. So think about this. This is how it works practically. You go out there today and you see that you could buy, a 10-year U.S. Treasury at 5%. Now, it's lower than that now. I just want to use just very simple, easy to math. It touched 5% at its high a couple of weeks ago. It is lower than that now. But let's just say 5%. You lock it in for 10 years. You know that it's backed by the full faith and credit of the U.S. government. This is a U.S. Treasury. So you will get 5% of whatever you put in every year. And your principal will fluctuate a little bit. But once you get to the 10 years, if you hold the bond long enough, you'll get all of your money back, what you put into it, if you bought it at par. Okay. Now, let's say, same thing, you bought that 10-year bond, you got 5%. But then rates start to come down. And the Fed is cutting rates down to 4.5, 4.375, 3.40, 3.2, 2.9. Oh, my goodness. You look at the value of your bond, which normally should just kind of stay at par, but not in this case. Your bond is more valuable. People want to buy your bond. It's obvious because it pays 5%. They want your bond. So let's say you put in $50,000 into that bond. Just hypothetically, that bond could now be worth $60,000, $70,000, $80,000 more depending on where interest rates are. So you have a choice. Oh, man, I kind of like getting that 5%, but geez, I don't have to wait 10 years to get my money back. Are you saying that I could sell this now? I put $50,000 in and I was just going to get $50,000 when I waited, and that's all I'm going to get if I wait? Why wouldn't I sell and get $70,000 or $80,000 now after just 2 or 3 years? That's how this game is played. So yes, even in our own portfolios, we have now been adjusting our portfolios in recent weeks. We are now adding back into bonds. We are starting to extend our maturity a little bit to take advantage of what we think is going to be a lower interest rate environment. Now, that's the big discussion right now among market strategists, among economists, among people like myself, a certified financial planner, and all my colleagues out there. Could the Fed actually start cutting rates next year? If they do, how aggressively? That is conventional wisdom. In fact, the consensus is for the Fed to cut for the first time in May of next year and cut at least 2 or 3 more times. So you've got 3 or 4 interest rate cuts by the end of 2024. If that's the case, the bond market is going to enjoy a double-digit return next year. Now, let me be clear. I'm not guaranteeing that. I'm not saying 100% sure. I'm just saying that would happen if the Fed does what a lot of people believe, and that is cut interest rates. So the bonds that you've been buying right now are all of a sudden going to go up in value. That's a great thing. But I don't know, man. I still look at the potential that inflation is going down. There's no question, but that maybe it is a little stickier than what we'd like to believe. Maybe it's not heading back to the Fed's target of 2% so quickly. Maybe it will take several years or longer. There's no guarantee. Even if it comes down a little bit, it still helps with your bonds, no question. But will they cut so aggressively next year? The only way they do that is if the economy really weakens and really starts to head toward a recession. I'll tell you what, if we do head in, we actually go into some sort of a recession, even a mild one, the Fed will cut rates even more aggressively, and your bonds will really do well, probably outperforming your stocks. Now is the time, more than ever, to stay diversified, because it's just going to be really hard to handicap.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Epic views, waterfall mists, summit sunsets. It's all better outside. And with AllTrails, you can discover the best of nature with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today and find your next adventure.
3:35 in St. Louis. You are listening to the Dollars and Cents Show. I know you haven't heard that title in a while. It's been a couple of months. I will be back in exactly 1 month, which I believe is December 17th. So 4 Sundays from today, I will be back with another Dollars and Cents Show. And of course, every once in a while, I will get asked to fill in on an at-your-service session on the weeknight. And I already know that I'm going to be doing several of them also around mid-December or so. But let's again talk about the here and now. This was very interesting to me. The bond market. I know it's kind of boring. It's very opaque. People don't quite understand it necessarily. They just know that in a diversified portfolio, yeah, I guess I got to have some bonds in there. When bonds work, they can give you almost like stock market-like returns. We haven't seen that the last few years. We have set history in a very bad way the last few years. If the year ended today, the bond market, there is a bond index, a couple of them really, but the major bond indices would all show a down 2023. Now, is that historic? No, not in and of itself. What has broken a record is this will be the third consecutive down year in a row. Three in a row. In fact, two in a row has only happened twice before. And you're thinking, okay, well, in what kind of time frame? Like the last 50 years, 100? How about since the late 1700s? And I kid you not. Researchers at a very large financial institution spent quite some time going back, even before there were actual exchanges, and they would just look at ledgers that corporations and people would have saved to show bond prices, what kind of value you were getting, buying and selling. And they did all this research, which took quite some time, and they published a paper on it. And they showed that if there was a bond index in all of these years, basically since the first years of our republic, all the way to when we actually had more regulated exchanges more than a century ago, the bond market, the fixed income market, is so stable and so easy to track within our portfolio because you don't see a lot of volatility in it. You just get the nice little coupons, the yield, maybe a little principal fluctuation here or there. But generally, you don't get huge losses until this post-COVID day. Did I mention the fact that we're sort of living in unprecedented times economically? Did I mention the fact that there's really no history on which to base any type of reasonable prediction or where things are going? Because we've never been here before. So here we are about to post the third down year in a row. I believe that 2024, this is my opinion, there's no guarantee, 2024 is going to be a pretty strong year for the bond market. So for those of you who have stayed true to your diversified portfolio and you've been relatively happy with your stocks, you have not been happy with your bonds, hang in there. I have no idea what the stock market's going to do. I just don't have that kind of conviction for 24, but I do for the bond market. And it's not just me. There was a global fund manager survey that just came out last week. So these are all professional investors, all right? These are your mutual fund folks, these are your pension folks, your hedge fund managers. So a fund manager survey. Professional investors, 61% expect lower bond yields next year. Lower. That is the highest number in the history of this poll. And you know what this means? It really reflects this viewpoint that I'm telling you about. And in fact, portfolio managers are the most overweight in bonds in two decades, because you have to understand that bond yields and bond prices work in reverse. They go in opposite directions. So think about this. This is how it works practically. You go out there today and you see that you could buy a 10-year U.S. Treasury at 5%. Now, it's lower than that now. I just want to use just very simple, easy to math. It touched 5% at its high a couple of weeks ago. It is lower than that now. But let's just say 5%. You lock it in for 10 years. You know that it's backed by the full faith and credit of the U.S. government. This is a U.S. Treasury. So you will get 5% of whatever you put in every year. And your principal will fluctuate a little bit. But once you get to the 10 years, if you hold the bond long enough, you'll get all of your money back, what you put into it, if you bought it at par. Okay. Now, let's say, same thing, you bought that 10-year bond You got 5%. But then rates start to come down. And the Fed is cutting rates down to 4.5, 4.375, 3.40, 3.2, 2.9. Oh, my goodness. You look at the value of your bond, which normally should just kind of stay at par, but not in this case. Your bond is more valuable. People want to buy your bond. It's obvious because it pays 5%. They want your bond. So let's say you put in $50,000 into that bond. Just hypothetically, that bond could now be worth $60,000, $70,000, $80,000 more, depending on where interest rates are. So you have a choice. Oh, man, I kind of like getting that 5%, but geez, I don't have to wait 10 years to get my money back. Are you saying that I could sell this now? I put $50,000 in and I was just going to get $50,000 when I waited and that's all I'm going to get if I wait? Why wouldn't I sell and get $70,000 or $80,000 now after just 2 or 3 years? That's how this game is played. So yes, even in our own portfolios, we have now been adjusting our portfolios in recent weeks. We are now adding back into bonds. We are starting to extend our maturity a little bit to take advantage of what we think is going to be a lower interest rate environment. Now, that's the big discussion right now among market strategists, among economists, among people like myself, a certified financial planner, and all my colleagues out there. Could the Fed actually start cutting rates next year? If they do, how aggressively? That is conventional wisdom. In fact, the consensus is for the Fed to cut for the first time in May of next year and cut at least 2 or 3 more times. So you've got 3 or 4 interest rate cuts by the end of 24. If that's the case, the bond market is going to enjoy a double-digit return next year. Now, let me be clear. I'm not guaranteeing that. I'm not saying 100% sure. I'm just saying that would happen if the Fed does what a lot of people believe, and that is cut interest rates. So the bonds that you've been buying right now are all of a sudden going to go up in value. That's a great thing. But I don't know, man. I still look at the potential that inflation is going down. There's no question, but that maybe it is a little stickier than what we would like to believe. Maybe it's not heading back to the Fed's target of 2% so quickly. Maybe it will take several years or longer. There's no guarantee. Even if it comes down a little bit, it still helps with your bonds, no question. But will they cut so aggressively next year? The only way they do that is if the economy really weakens and really starts to head toward a recession. I'll tell you what, if we do head in, we actually go into some sort of a recession, even a mild one, the Fed will cut rates even more aggressively, and your bonds will really do well, probably outperforming your stocks. Now is the time, more than ever, to stay diversified, because it's just going to be really hard to handicap where interest rates, inflation, and for next year, and what the Fed may or may not do about it. Okay, I've got to take one more break. When we come back, one more thing on kind of current market conditions, and this will be great for you bulls. Or if you're worried about where the market may be going in 24, what I'm going to present to you out of this break is really positive. It doesn't guarantee us a hill of beans, of course, but it's fact. It is history that goes back 50 years, and I think we have to pay attention to it. So stick around. I'll tell you why some people are very bullish based on this very report. You're listening to the Dollars and Cents Show on KMOX. So 3:49 in St. Louis, Dave Simons along with you, certified financial planner and just kind of all-around nice guy. So I think most of you know what the major stock market benchmarks are. The most famous, of course, is the Dow Jones Industrial Average. And it was formed first in 1896, so it's got a nice long track record. Most people in the profession itself don't really look at the Dow as much as a tracking mechanism because it only contains 30 stocks. We look more at the S&P 500. It may surprise you that that actually contains 500 stocks, the S&P 500. Funny how that works. Actually, it's got like 502 because sometimes one isn't extracted as quickly as they add one. But again, I digress. Then there's the NASDAQ. The NASDAQ, that high-flying, high-octane, tech-heavy tech-laden index that's been around since 1971. And normally, in a bull market, the NASDAQ will lead the way. That's where the growth is. So we've seen some interesting things with the NASDAQ here in November, in this very bullish November, as it's exploding to the upside. And there was a couple of days where we had like more than 10 to 1 advance to decline. So, for example, for like every 20 NASDAQ stocks, like 19 were up and one was down. I mean, that can happen occasionally on a day, but there were three times in just the last 2 weeks, three times where we saw in the NASDAQ the advanced decline line was better than 3 to 1. And I thought, man, that I don't know offhand when I've seen something like that, that you got a few of these within just a couple of weeks. And so sure enough, the researchers at a company called Sentiment Trader, I think they do fabulous work. I use a lot of their stuff in my weekly commentaries. And they plugged it in. I love these brainiacs in their computers. I just love it. And they will put in the algorithms. And what they said is, okay, how many times have we seen since the NASDAQ was formed in 1971 that the NASDAQ index had a better than 3 to 1 advance to decline? And that happened at least three times within 2 weeks. And it spit it right back out. Since 1971, it's happened 18 times. That's not very often, is it? And it just happened for the 19th time last week. 19 times in history. So then, of course, you want to know, whoa, okay, we got a decent little time frame, a good sample size. We're talking more than 50 years. All right, that's good. How about those 18 times? What did the broader market do after that? Don't we really want to know that? How about 6 months later? How about a year later? What was the market doing? And I don't really care about the NASDAQ so much, frankly. I want to know about the broader market. Most of us like don't have all of our stock stuff in high-flying tech stocks. Normally, when the NASDAQ's doing well, that brings the rest of the market up, but we want to confirm that. Get this, my friends. In those previous 18 times since 1971, the S&P 500 was up a year later 17 out of 18 times. For an average gain, and I hate using averages, so this doesn't mean anything. I think it's meaningless, but it just kind of gives you an idea of how strong the market has actually been in most of those 17 times. The average gain, 18.6%. Remember, the S&P for 100 years has actually averaged 10.4% with dividends. But here we are, almost double that, when the NASDAQ has one of its two-week spurts like we've had. Now, let me give the disclaimer again, as always, right? This doesn't guarantee us anything going forward. We know that. But I like the odds of 17 out of 18 times with an average gain of about 18.5%. You should see some of these returns I'm looking for. Here is back one in the early 80s, 44.7% the next year, 49.9%. And by the way, one thing that I looked for is, well, is there a pattern to these 18 years? Were they all occurring in bear markets or bull markets? No, that's the beauty of it. They occurred in both bull, bear markets, and just sideways markets. There doesn't seem to be any definitive pattern here. So we're looking at 1975. That was a bull market, and it occurred. 1978, that was a down year, and it occurred. 83, great year. 2010, a flat year. 2011, actually had a correction that year of about 20% in the S&P. So that's what I was looking for. It occurred during the pandemic year of 2020, in fact. So take that for what it's worth. But when you look at that, and we're in a seasonally strong pattern now, and if the Fed really is going to cut interest rates, you have to be a little bit more bullish than bearish. We got some other things to deal with, right? You might have heard a year from now, there's this thing called the election. Boy, could that make things interesting. As I have preached, however, on this show after all these years, do not overestimate the political ramifications of financial markets. People tend to put too much emphasis on how politics affects markets, and they normally don't. Could next year be a little bit different? It could, We'll continue to talk through that, okay? All right, in my last remaining minute or so here before we take a top-of-the-hour news, weather, and sports break, let me give you a little bit of a hint coming in the second hour. You will want to come back for this. I am going to play some audio of a person on a podcast. He's a pretty well-known person in the financial advice industry, and he has been putting out some really bad advice, dangerously so. This is not my style. I don't call people out. This probably is the first time in 27 years on the show, and I've been thinking about this for a while, but the latest of what he talked about to me was so egregious, I have no choice but to spend some time on this and give you the truth and not just the misleading theory that this guy espouses. So come back, please.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
When New Yorkers buy a place with StreetEasy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card. Buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.